Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto with a PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, peace, power, and love, family. Welcome once again to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Once again, bringing it to you. As usual, on Mondays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Like I say, I want to welcome everybody that may be listening online right now. And I'm going to already thank those who are listening, who will listen, and who will call in. I look for this to be an active show. Wanting to talk about part two, really. About, I don't know, a month or so ago, I did a show where I talked about the black family. And I really wanted to do a part two on that because, I mean, I just feel like that's essential. That's something that we need to truly focus on. So I wanted to do a part two and really dig off into some things, like what we had, what we lost, and where we're at now, and really where we're going as a unit, not just individually. I wrote something that I wanted to share before I dig off into this and want to get off into things I had read. I was doing a little bit of digging and looking and reading, and I come across some things that were fairly interesting and really makes a lot of sense on, you know, especially it makes a lot of sense reading some of the things of past that have our numbers really where they are, and there were a lot of things that contributed to the fall of the black family. It wasn't like one day we all just woke up and said that, you know, we didn't need one another. We were somewhat pushed away from one another. I wrote this, and I feel like I'll read this because it's really, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hold off on reading it. I want to kind of get on off into this. If you happen to be listening online and you want to call in tonight, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. When you call in, you can also, if you're listening online, you can also call in and listen. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can press the 1. I will see you light up. And usually after I give my commentary, y'all know how it goes. I will open up the microphones. And like I say, I just like to interact with the callers, like the different opinions. And I especially would like for some sisters to call in tonight as well, because I just feel like this discussion is one of those healing type discussions, and I really want us to be able to agree to disagree respectfully and really be honest about what it is, especially nowadays in this 2021 atmosphere, attributing to the decline of the black family. You know, what is contributing to the rise in divorces as opposed to the rise in union? Why are we not able to love one another correctly? And that is just something that is really like is not only happening in our communities, but it is happening in our communities at a high rate. Like I say, I was doing some researching and just reading over, and I had done some Googling, and this particular information comes from blackdemographics.com. And I actually Googled, I just wanted to know our stats as far as marriage was concerned, as far as our ratio, because that is something also that plays a very big part of the equation. Now, I was reading, and in 2019, this is when these numbers were established. And like I say, I got this off of blackdemographics.com. But in 2019, there were 30%, only 30% of African Americans that were married, compared to 48% of all Americans, and half or 50% of African Americans have never been married, compared to 34% of all Americans. Also, as I was reading through that article, the percentage of black men in America, as opposed to the percentage of black women in America, in the 100th percentile, black women make up 52% of the black population, whereas black men only make up 48% of the total black population in America. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but that 4% really makes a big difference as well, as far as availability. Also, you factor in that 48% of black males, and I didn't Google that, and I guess I should have, because I'm really kind of interested to know, too, out of that 48% of black men, what out of that 48% is incarcerated, you know, because that makes a big difference, like I say, in availability of men. And then to went on to say it also believed that a large percentage of black men marry white women, and this is also cited as one of the causes of the low marriage rate among black women. This is, however, only partially true. While black men marry white women at twice the rate that black women marry white men in 2017, said only 15% of black men were married to non-black women, which was up 11% from 2010. It went on to say that black women were the least likely to marry non-black men at only 7% in 2017, and only 4% were married to white men. So that is another, I guess you could call it another problem as far as us being with one another, marrying into our own races, that also marrying outside of race cuts down on our, you know. Also, as I was reading and through this article, and like I say, I'm just kind of picking through this article and pinpointing things that kind of caught my eye. It said that in 2012, the U.S. Census Bureau released a report, and they studied the history of marriage in the United States and discovered that some, this is how they worded it, they discovered some startling statistics when calculating marriage by race, and they actually found that African Americans age 35 or older were more likely to be married than whites. And this was from 1890 until sometime around the 1960s. And I want y'all to remember that particular number too as well, you know, because I think that also plays a big role in our situation and our inability to work together as a unit. And everything that I'm talking about, and really I'm talking about doing as a unit, a family unit, a structured unit. Also, it went on to say that not only did they, this was like I say, that particular number was from 1890 until 1960. And like I say, we were together then. We were loving one another then. We were building families then, and solid foundations nonetheless. It went on to say that in 1980, the number of never married African Americans began a staggering climb from about 10% to more than 25% in 2010, while the percentage for white women remained under 10% and just over 10% for white men. So the reason I feel that that number 1890 and 1960 is important, because even prior to 1890, we were more reliant upon one another. And I think that even back then, there's no doubt, no thinking, our spirits were more bonded. We were more bonded, and we looked for unity amongst one another. We looked for comfort amongst one another. So I feel as if sometimes, not that it was a bad thing, and don't take this statement the wrong way, but because our freedom, our being set free was necessary. But sometimes I feel that we took that freedom and we have misdirected it and misused it as well, because we became more, and there's nothing wrong with being independent, mind you. I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with being independent, but we became more selfish in our independence. And like I was saying, prior to 1890, marriages were stronger. The bonds that we just had, the community bonds that we had prior to 1890 were strong. And then the period between 1890 and 1960, yes, they remained strong then, because we definitely, like I always say, we needed each other then. We had to rely upon each other then in order to move around. We had a so-called freedom, but we all know that that particular freedom wasn't really freedom. Those statistics kind of bother, it went on to say in that article that it kind of bothers scholars and public observers because of the, it says, the historical benefits provided by, you know, marriage, which it gave a few examples, like individuals who were married enjoyed better physical and mental health. I beg to differ on that. And once I finish my commentary and we get some callers and some feedback, I'm sure we'll get all into that, because that particular statement, individuals who are married enjoyed better physical and mental health, is not always the case, and especially nowadays, and we need to turn that around. It went on to say have more social ties, higher household income, which I did agree with, accumulate more wealth, which I did agree with as well, because especially in today's economy, it does take two, unless you are fortunate enough to be an entrepreneur who has a six-figure income and, you know, you can live a comfortable life like that. But just for those of us who are out here living an everyday life right now, working a job, it definitely does take two people. So, yeah, I do agree with the income aspect of it and accumulating more wealth. And it also went on to say raise children who do better in terms and of health and social outcomes than the children of unmarried parents. And I do agree with that as well, because I do feel like as a race, we do have the, well, I'm not going to say that because I didn't Google that, but I will say that we do have a high rate, unfortunately, of single parent homes that are majority ran by single mothers. And I always talk about, like I say, family and children and the importance of our youth and just being involved with your children. And I know there are times that we may not be able to do financially. It's hard times, and that's understandable, but your time is free. Your time is free, and I'm going to say this too. No woman makes a baby on her own. No woman does that. So to you brothers, be involved. Time is everything. That's what a child will remember more than anything else. They will like the things you buy them, but they will remember the time that you spent with them. Those are things that are ingrained in the memory. Those are things and moments that should be cherished. It went on to say, because of the decline of marriage has been so sharp among blacks that this group has received close scrutiny. Some analysts argue that black women in particular place little value on marriage, but much evidence contradicts this argument and suggests instead that social deprivation make it hard for black women to find suitable partners. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, social deprivation, which, like I was saying, the 48% of black men to the 52% of black women. And then you subtract those black men who are going through social deprivation, such as jail, and just any type of criminal activity, because probation is, you know, another form of it. And that plays also a big part because it limits the man. It like I say, it limits the availability of the black man. And that's why it's so important for those of us black men who are out here amongst the madness, step up and be real black men for our sisters, because we need each other and they need us. And we have got to, like I say, just learn to work in unison as opposed to disunion. Nobody understands us like we do. And we, you know, I just read the numbers concerning the interracial marriages, and then out of that 48% of black men, okay, now you detract the percentage from that 48%, not only that are incarcerated, but those that are married outside the race. So thus, the black woman suffers even more because there is another percentage of non-availability of us. And so, like I say, it's just important for us to cherish one another and be more loving toward one another. And like I was going to say earlier, and I've said this a couple of times, you know, in a couple of past shows, how my great-grandparents that I was fortunate enough to get to experience into my late teenage years were married, you know, 60-plus years. And don't you know that during that particular 60-year period, 60-plus year period, that some nerves got rattled, some things got said, some accusations were made, but it's like I watch them in, you know, when I'm with them, they're in their waning years, but just seeing them and that togetherness still, I mean, because, I mean, yeah, 60 years, we lose track, and within a year, 2 years, 3 years, we ready to throw in the towel. We don't have the patience. We don't have the humility. We don't have the integrity nor self-respect to do what's right as far as family, as far as working together. Because, see, that is a test of your true faith. That is a test of your true patience. Working and growing with somebody that you have decided to build with. And that is the main objective, to build. And like I say, be an example for those who will be looking, because you never know who is watching you. And if you have children, they are definitely watching. And especially, let's just break it down. For the black man, you have got to be a shining example of what a man is, period. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, I did talk about how the economy is, and which the economy is rough, and it does take two people. But I was raised, and I saw how a man is supposed to be. Now, I do the best I can, and I'm not even going to lie. Do I pay 100% of the bills? No, but I pay the majority. I try to pay the bulk of the bills, because I just feel like that is part of being a man, the provider, the one who is the one to be leaned on. And we have to give our young, that's why we have now, and this is why, too, it's important for men, and when I was saying time, because your time is important, and your time is free. It doesn't cost you anything to give your time. And your child needs you just as well and just as much as he needs that mother. He needs that nurturing, soft nature that a mother gives him. But in turn, where the man comes in, he's the disciplinary. He's the respect gainer, because he can put that bass in his voice and make you obedient, make a child obedient. And that is why I shared a post not long ago, and it said men and women were not created to be equal. We were created for balance. And that's why I always speak on family and relations, because, like I say, yes, as a man, I have to know my part, and my part is to be the leader. My part is to be the protector, the provider. And when I say be the leader, I don't mean be the dictator. I mean be the leader. You know not to follow a fool into a fire. So if you are going to be a man, be a worthy man. Don't just be no man that's gone, I want my word, and if your word ain't right, well, your word ain't supposed to be followed, bruh. So that's where some men lose themselves, because they feel like, oh, I'm the man, and what I say should go, and whoop-de-whoop. No, you got to be a man worthy of your word being followed. You have to be a man, be a leader, a protector. Nobody comes in my house and does harm to anybody unless I'm crippled, dead, blind, something is wrong with me. If that happens, protecting the house, protecting what's in your circle, anything under your umbrella and leading wisely as well, making wise and precise choices, not doing things that you just want to do. You have to, being a leader, think of those who are under you, consider their feelings as well, and not only that, be inclusive. See, like I say, a lot of men get that ego, that arrogance, where you feel as if what you're laying down is just the law. And now, are you following the law, or are you making your own? And that's why I say to the ladies, to the sisters, you know, be wise in your choices, because everybody is not going to love you unconditionally. Some people will love you because it's convenient, and that goes for men and women. And like I say, men, brothers, be the provider. Do the most. Do the most. Don't expect your lady, don't expect your wife to carry the load. You know, and that's what's happening with a lot of our youth, because I see it. I see our young women, and I'm gonna open up these mics here shortly, but I see our young women out here struggling, raising a kid by themselves. Why, some sorry half-raised boy is probably 9 times out of 10 sitting up under his mama roof, not working, getting money from her, playing video games all day, smoking, drinking, doing whatever they do for entertainment. See, and that's why I say it's essential. Just because you and the wife don't make it, or you and the baby's mother don't make it, don't take that out on the child. Love the child anyway. That's a part of you too, bruh. That's your blood as well. So don't take it out on the child. And likewise, women, don't do that. Don't keep the child from the father because you have some disdain because he wasn't doing you right or whatever the case may have been. Now, abusive situations, no. I don't respect that, period. No. I don't care. Any man, no man has a right, this is my opinion, to touch a woman. I've never touched my daughter, and I pity the man that ever does. That was her mother's job. And that's why I say we have to be dual in our roles and equal in our roles, especially for the children, even if you're not raising them under the same roof. The children don't deserve to be in the middle of y'all hatred and bullshit. Excuse my French. But they don't need to be in the middle of that. So at least be cordial enough so that the children can at least not be involved in the confusion. And for the brothers also, like I say, that daughter needs your love, even if you're not with her mother. You see a lot of daughters, you see a lot of young women, young out here, seeking attention from men. And generally, it will end up being an older man. She's looking to fill that void that she never had, that hug that she never got from her daddy, that kiss on the forehead that she never got from her daddy, that man, that father that was never there to tell her how beautiful she was. You know, he was never there her birthdays or her first date or proms, you know, that absent man. And like I say, don't let your pride of not having enough keep you from spending time with your child. Your child deserves your time too, brother. And being raised without my biological dad in my life for a few years, I understand that wholly. And that's why I say we were not created equal. We were created for balance, and we have got to get over this inner competition with one another. You know, we, as a black man and a black woman, we are all special people just because we are who we are. No one of us is better than the other. We need one another for balance. And we go at each other harder than anything. We battle amongst one another relentlessly, and that's got to stop. We've got to learn to coexist together. If we don't coexist together, how can we expect our children to go out and build productive families and raise productive children? They're going to be products of what they see, so we have got to show them better. You know, I was listening to a documentary earlier. It was like in the 1980s, and they had a group of young ladies. They were all in their late teens. They all had children already. And they asked them how many of them wanted to get married or wished that their baby's fathers and them were still together. One raised their hand, and the thing that was said the most was, my mother raised me by myself, and I don't think I need a man. And that goes back to that date, because during the 60s, I'll say we really did have strong families before the madness, and like I say, the system actually caused a lot of the division when the system started offering housing. When they implemented the child support system, which was another means of division. So like I say, the system did play a big part in our division. You could have a house with your children, which they know it takes a man to make a child, but the black man can't be there. And another thing that was divisive that happened in the 60s was how black women got involved with the feminist movement. The feminist movement was not for black women, and I'm going to explain why I say that. Because black men have never been in a power position. Therefore, we have never been in control of anything systematically, or our women for that fact. But we, being who we are, the empathetic, compassionate people who we are, just wanting to help people, a lot of black women fail to that. Now, how many of those same feminists who are your counterparts have protested with you, have said anything, you know, about, I mean, and I'm just saying not the few that do. I'm talking about collectively. Because they don't come to our aid, nor have they come to the black woman's aid. But that was another divisive way that was really systematically devastating to the black family. And not only that, this system will give, and this is just a fact, you know, that there are more opportunities for black women than there are black men. And that goes back, too, to slavery, if you really just think about it, because even in slavery, they had the mammy in the house, and Massa gave the mammy power, really, over everything. And then now we know Massa was doing what he wanted to do with the house made, but yet and still, that also is really just a power play to give the more docile of the two the power. And that way, whenever they get ready to come in and take power, it will be what they think is easier, because there will be more women as opposed to men to deal with. So that's why I say it's important that we have to learn and understand and communicate, because my biggest thing is communication, because the more that we can communicate with one another, we start to learn one another, we start to know one another, and then from the outside tries to come in and change the narrative. We've communicated enough amongst one another to where nothing that can cause confusion will. And then that goes to the fact also of learning to agree to disagree. We can't let every little issue be the say-all, end-all. That's part of, like I say, why our unity never happens, because our youth don't see us truly unifying, and we're supposed to be the adults. We're supposed to be the ones that know better. So we have definitely got to do better. And back to my point, I'll finish my point, and then I'm going to take a quick break, and I've got a few callers, and I'm going to open up the microphones after I take my break. But yeah, like I say, this is just to me an important conversation, because family is a key, is the key to everything that we want to do. I think back to like the cities that were thriving, the Tulsa, Oklahomas. I think back to the Rosewoods, the Ocoee, the Elaines, the Slocums, and, you know, didn't just one mind, one person didn't put that together. It took groups of people who were on a collective path to build that. It took families who believed in one another, who worked as a unit, and then they built communities. And that's why I always say, family, strong families build strong communities. Without families, you can't build communities. And we need more of us together. I'm just going to be real about it. We need more of us together, working in unison, correctly, man respecting his wife, taking care of her, loving her, cherishing her, treating her like the delicate flower that she is, period. Never looking outside of her for attention, relations, none of that, making her your one and all. We don't do enough of that. And sisters, for brothers, it's just really about, I guess, respect, really. Really, I know that works both ways. And those are really, respect, communication's key. Respect, trust, and that comes with it. If all of those things are working, nothing will overflow. The pot will never overflow. The temperature will always remain just right. And that's what we have got to work on. We can't keep allowing ourselves to become so, like I say, so enraged with one another. It's not that disagreements don't happen. But like I say, we've got to learn how to agree to disagree. And just, like I say, being more truthful with one another, we owe each other that. We owe each other that. And then, like I say, if we're not showing our children that, we can't expect our children to do anything different. And we're seeing a generation, it's a show-me generation. They go by what they see. And what they see in their face every day in this cesspool here is mainly negative. And especially things about us negative and stereotypical. May not be as bad as it used to be, but it's still here. And we all know that. And that's why I say it's important for us all individually to be solid examples. Solid examples. And stop playing about things. If you are not ready for what you sign up for, don't play it. Don't play it, because the other person deserves better. The other person may be ready to take them next four steps. And that's another important thing. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're with the right person. You know, sometimes I think some of us marry for security, or we're with somebody for security, or we're with somebody for comfort, or, you know, whatever it may be. But it's got to be more of a connection than just that. And that's why I say, too, it's important for us to reconnect with who we truly are spiritually, because I think that if we all individually really went into that dark space and took a hard look at ourselves, you would change. I mean, but a lot of us don't take a hard enough look at ourselves, and that's why we continue to do the same foolish things and make the same foolish mistakes over and over and over and over again. It's all about change as well, you know, because when you unite with anybody in any case, and this is like even on a job or anything, you have to learn the people that you're working with. You have to learn that job, and marriage is a job. A relationship is a job. It's work every day involved in it. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. Ain't nothing worth having easy. You know, so I just wanted to kind of dig off into this again get a little feedback, because, like I say, to me, family is important, and we really have got to recognize how much we need each other out here. Our power lies in our togetherness. We've got to start understanding that. We have saw examples of it numerous times, of what can happen when we work together as a unit. You know, but we just refuse to do that. And like I say, it all starts with each individual, and it starts with having strong family values and morals. And like I was saying, that's one reason why I feel that those particular neighborhoods, despite them being destroyed and burned down, thrived, because you had a group of people who understood the necessity of one another. You know, and like I say, it don't matter what you bring to the table. You can bring up, some can be done with that. And some people feel like they don't have anything that they can contribute. And like I say, it don't matter what you feel. Just having the initiative is enough. Because around and with the right individuals, initiative can be formed and shaped and used, period. And that's why I say don't ever feel as if your contribution is not enough. And like I say, we've got to really start recognizing and understanding our need for each other, because we all family out here. We are all family out here. And it's about the people and defeating the wicked system. That's what true fight is. And without each other, we lose. And we losing now, y'all. And then our numbers of unity are not going up. We, like I say, we'll throw each other in the ditch at the drop of a dime. We'll throw each other away, and we need each other. So I think I done talked long enough. I didn't really mean to talk a whole hour, but I appreciate y'all listening. It's just something I'm passionate about. Y'all know me. I love my people. I love me. So I got to love my brothers and sisters. But, okay, I'm gonna open up a mic before I take a break here. I know. Well, caller, let me throw a quick break in real quick, and I'm going to open you up just as soon as we come from this break, because I see y'all have been listening, and I saw you just hit. But for those of you, I appreciate you for listening online. If you want to call in, you can call in. Call in is 914-205-5538. Tonight, I'm doing just a part two family about the black family, what we had, what we lost, where we're at, where we need to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want some input, and I know I'm going to get some. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm going to take a very brief break, and we'll be right back.
Who taught you, please, who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. There's a white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, welcome back to the Big Picture. This is Melvin Siri Jr. I love playing that clip because right there, those last few words, our black women, and that's the way I feel because I got a daughter out here in this crazy, mad world. And one thing about it is I'm partial to my black women. And I can't be around to see none of that. And that's the spirit that our brothers need to catch and be more defensive of what we have. Have can be easily taken away. Caller number 7184, your mic is open. I'm sorry I've been long-winded, but welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture.
It's all good, brother. I appreciate it. It's Brother Cleveland, man, calling
peace,
in. peace, brother. I can definitely appreciate your material tonight. I say that because you touched a lot of valid points on, like, what we have now and, you know, what we're trying to get. And I agree 100% with everything you said. But I feel like the mentality in the household, I feel like, you know, yeah, men need to be men. And we're going to be held accountable for being men, whether it's out in the world, whether it's a phone call to your mom or talking to your dad, you're going to be held accountable for being a man regardless. And I totally agree, men should be doing what they're supposed to be doing. However, I feel like the disconnect in the household, I'll start with respect. And I feel like you brought up in the 60s, a lot of the households were very strong. They were close-knit. They fought for what they wanted. They fought for what they believed in. But back then, that's what kept the black family together, communication, because we had been through so much, the black man and woman, and we physically saw it. You know, this was more blatant back then, and everybody was close-knit. We needed each other then. And I think, if you ask me, we need each other more so today now than we – I'm not going to say back then, but, I mean, with everything that's going on, the trash that they put on the television, the trash that they put in – on the radios, the stuff that our women listen to, the stuff our men listen to, the stuff that our kids listen to, the world is not necessarily making it popular to be the strong black family. I can remember growing up during the 80s era, the black family was modeled after the Cosby Show. Everybody wanted to be Claire and Cliff and wanted to have the kids and the nice house and the degrees, and college was being promoted. And now the only thing that's being promoted is gangster rap and shaking your behind and being underdressed and learning every slander word or every slander phrase to bring back into the household. And we'll generate that stuff on each other. We'll do it to each other. And that's our go-to mechanism with dealing with each other. Sorry about that, brother. The disrespect is so real on both ends that if the woman's out busting her behind and doing any and everything, the man's going to find something to be disrespectful about. And the man that's out here dealing with any and everything, that's trying his best, the woman's going to find something to be disrespectful about. And what I've kind of just observed is that a lot of relationships don't focus on their relationship. We too busy worried about what Keisha and Tommy got on going on in their relationship. And a lot of times your relationship can be solid until you hear somebody else's problem and you find something that might – there's something that probably was small and you let pass. Now it's something like that's just blown up. So I feel like the communication and the respect has to be there in order for the black family to be back to where we were. And you brought up another strong point, brother, where you said the government assistance and things like this, they make it more popular and make it to where you have more money to not have the black man in the house. You got, what do they give, the EBT cards, you get child support, you get all kinds of government assistance. And again, that just builds up more of, oh, I don't need this guy, I could do it on my own. And if he can't cope with what I got, which really ain't much of nothing, then it can't be. We got to get back to square one, brother. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to
now. You keep fading in and out. You, like you going away from the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, brother. I just feel like we need to get back to the basics as far as communication wise, and we need to gain the respect back into the black households in order for us to thrive. Not only just as in relationships, but as a people. If there is disrespect in the household in any kind of form and you go out into the world, it's going to carry. Then you're going to acquire disrespect outside of your household and bring it back into your household and the things that you couldn't say to the people that really frustrated you and pissed you off, you bring that back and you spew that out on the person that's supposed to be there waiting to support and love you. But see, when we bring that home, we only have people listening just to fire back off. We're not listening to what's really going on. We listen to what could possibly be disrespect so we could fire back off. And once we do that, we may get in our own little mood where we don't want to talk for a minute and go turn on what? Some gangster rap, some killing this, disrespect that, and so forth and so on. So we don't feed our spirits with the right type of nourishment in a time of adversity with each other. While patience is so short with each other, I can give a million ways. But it has to stop in order for us to obtain that strong black family and that strong black leadership that you spoke of, brother. And I yield right there.
Yeah, because when I'm talking about family, and I'm really too speaking solid relationships where there is real commitment, and two, I'm talking about in marriages where, and relationships, and like I say, have lack of commitment because, like I was saying, in my thoughts and as a man, I'm going to always bring more to the table than my wife, than who I'm with. And right. Not only that, as a man, I am going to show her the proper respect. Therefore, I will get the proper respect. And see, that's where some men, like I was saying earlier, drop the ball because they feel like just because they're the man, they can do what they want to do, and that woman better do what he says for her to do. And see, that's not a relationship. That's a dictatorship. That's not leadership. That's a dictatorship. As a man, you have to know your boundaries. And as a man, you have to know when to walk away because you have to warrant respect, like I say. And if you are not doing what you should be doing as a man or a woman, well, you don't deserve respect. And honestly, a lot of us walk around thinking that we're doing the right thing, but in all honesty, we're not. And I've been victim of that because I can remember being younger and I'm thinking I'm on point, but no. And you got to be willing also, being younger, and I'm just talking about me, because couldn't nobody tell me nothing back then except my granddad. Mm-hmm. So I had to get out of that stage. But like I say, as a man, you have to recognize your boundaries, because as a man, you are the power base. So like I say, you have to know how to allow things to roll off of your back, because ain't nothing harder than being a man except being a black woman, because they have just as much stress on them as we do. And then not only that, like I was saying earlier, you have a lot of single women out here raising children by themselves. And then, you know, like I was saying, systematically, there has been some involvement. But for the most part, the majority of our black women get out here and bust their ass, work two or three jobs, because I know a few myself that work two or three jobs to support their house and their children, because they don't want no handouts. And then what will happen is they'll meet up with some half-ass man. And I'm just going to be real, and I'm a man, but I'm going to speak because I got a sister, and I've seen it happen. Meet up with some old half-ass man that'll tell him some half-ass lies, ain't going to do half of what he said he was going to do. And then he'll wiggle his way in and then don't do nothing. And I have seen it. Like I say, I got a sister. She went through it. I never met the cat. Good I didn't, because I don't respect a man like that. That's just my thoughts. Because have I ever lived with a woman? Yes, I have. But when I lived with a woman, I paid the bills because I was there. Were we married? No. But that is just, if I'm going to lay my head under your roof and you allow me to do that, well, I'm going to do the best that I can to stay. You know, now, like I say, it wasn't really no serious relationship or nothing like that. But I, being the man that I am, that's just the proper thing to do, because I'm not going to try to, I'm not going to be the man that come in there and make the load for her heavier. And I see that happen too many times. And it never happens the opposite way. The brother never has all of that and allows the woman to come in. It's always the woman who has it. Now, that goes back to, like I say, how the system will allow our women to prosper, and they do. But then, like I say, they meet up with an old no-good brother, and what do? He'll pull them back down. And that's part of the problem of why our women are so disgusted with black men. And then there not being enough black men out here, like I said, because of incarceration, and then you have the interracial factor. So out of that 48% to 52%, you probably got about 40% of us out here. And then how are we doing our sisters? Are we giving them a reason to respect us? I'm just being the devil's advocate, because, like I say, respect is not given. You got to earn that shit. Excuse my French, because I've had to earn it, and I don't just give mine. It has to be earned. Likewise, because I'm not just going to bend over backwards for anybody, you know, and once a bridge is burned, it's burned. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't rebuild the bridge, and sometimes the bridge don't need to be rebuilt, you know.
That's right.
Like I say, it's just not just saying dogging the brothers, but I'm just being real, and I'm a man, and I know how we do, how we tend to do, you know, and that just goes back to I don't be all out here. I'm not in everybody's I try not to do what the world does. I try not to go with the flow of things. I try to be different in that way. And like I say, being a man ain't easy, but being a black woman is no easier. And then, like I say, you factor in the fact that she may have a mouth or two or three at home to feed, and in some cases, maybe more. Well, that is stress 24/7, all day, every day. You got to clothe them, feed them, then you got to school time comes, you got to get them school. I mean, being a woman, I've seen it with my sister when she entered single parenthood. So, like I say, I respect both sides of the fence, but I, too, have more compassion and sympathy for the woman because I'm the power base. Woman can't do what I can do, period. So I am more partial to the sisters in that fight simply because I'm the power base. I'm the man. So I'm going to try to make my woman's life as easy as possible, as stress-free as possible. And I mean, what we missing as black men and black women is it really is not all about simple respect. It's really about unconditional love, because playtime is over and nobody has time to waste. And if you are going to enter into somebody's life, at least be there in a positive way. That's for men or women, you know, because like I say, you got women that'll run games on men so they can, you know, have a place to stay and ain't got to worry about paying no bills and stuff. You got brothers that do the same thing, and you entering into it for the wrong reason. And it is, I mean, it's not going to work regardless for that fact. You know, and like I say, we have got to just be more, first of all, like I say, just open and real and stop being fake and trying to run games. Because in the end, like I've said on this show a couple of times, how when I was young and I used to lie for no reason, I used to just lie for no reason. And why? I don't know. But I used to do it. And my grandmother one day set me down and she said, Nunu, she said, it's so much easier to just tell the truth and remember the truth. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me all the way to right now. And that's why I don't care what it is, I'm going to be truthful, because it's easier for me to remember the truth than it is for me to remember a lie. And so I owe that openness and honesty to whoever I bring into my circle as the man, because I'm the power base. I'm the one that's going to make things happen. And if I have a woman that is submissive enough to follow me, I'm going to lead her right. I'm going to treat her right. And it ain't much that she can do that's going to aggravate me enough to disrespect her. Now, as a man and as men, we're supposed to be the strong one. We're supposed to be able to absorb certain things. And I'm not even going to lie, I've absorbed some disrespect in the last few weeks, but I don't react to that because I'm the power base. I'm the man. So in that fashion, am I going to be fool or am I going to be gentleman? I'm going to remain gentleman. See, and a lot, sometimes men are more emotional than women. Men's feelings are hurt more easily than women's feelings. I've seen that. But like I say, in a relationship, it's a give and take. But as a man, you're supposed to be the wiser one because you're the stronger one. That is another thing, like I was saying earlier, why relationships fail and why we don't prosper in our relationships, because one person is relying on another person to do it all or do more and not even willing to meet halfway. And like I say, it's in this economy, in these days and time, it takes two people working equally in order to obtain anything, in order to move forward. And then, too, like I say, you got to take the play factor out of it, because ain't nothing out here for play in the real world. You know, ain't no time for games. So, and then, like I say, it's a lot of gaming that goes on, unfortunately, as well. But I got another caller number 6050. I'm going to open up your mic. Your mic is open, 6050.
Hey, great conversation this evening. I just had a comment about what you just said, and
this you, Brother Patrick?
You know, there's supposed to be yes, it is.
All right.
And it should be mutual respect, but I think there needs to be mutual respect on both sides. I don't think just because you're a man that you should be able to put up with more necessarily. We know everything is not perfect in relationships, but I think there's some things that need to be cleaned up. And I think some of the behavioral stuff for men and women, that needs to be cleaned up. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't even be tolerated at all. So that's kind of my thing. And if you're a man, you should make sure, and, you know, kind of the same with women, if you're a man, you make sure that your environment is clean, meaning free of a lot of drama, right? And if people bring drama to you or in your space, you know, that's kind of on you, right? So, you know, from the male point of view, I just think we need to clean up our environment and, you know, and ourselves and people who would come around us or we would be with who do bring that, you know? Because I think there's a lot of, I mean, it would clean up, in my view, it would clean up a lot of the conflict that's going on in the household. I know after a certain age, I had like zero tolerance for stuff. So even when I was in the dating realm, it was like, you know, the rules are set forth, and then if there was drama or disrespect or anything, I just turn around and walk away from the whole thing. I just leave it right there. Because I set my limit, right? So that's kind of my comments on that. And on top of that, I think that would help. I think if people started cleaning up their environment and making sure that the people they deal with are solid, and if not walk away, that would teach those who misbehave in relationships for whatever reason, it would clean them up because they wouldn't be able to find anybody to be with, right? But what happens is we tolerate stuff, and then we tolerate bad behavior, and then when that breaks up, it unleashed that person right back out into the dating pool to then misbehave with somebody else because we never even put our foot down and tried to help clean it up so that they could try to make a change, right?
Right.
So it kind of it dirties up the whole dating pool, even starts to dirty up the marrying pool.
Right.
And
yeah, no doubt.
We have to start doing that. And you know, I met somebody you know, early on in my life who was an older person that told me, they said, if I spend 2 years with somebody, with a man, he said, if I spend my time 2 years with a woman, that is a great woman. Mm-hmm. And anybody that comes, that dates her behind me, if things don't work out, will get a good woman. He said, because I don't spend time with people that are of low character.
Right.
He said, I only spend.
So are you married, Brother Patrick?
No, right. I was. Yeah.
Okay.
I was
right. Right.
Yep.
And I guess, too, when I said earlier, and I got another caller, too, I'm going to open the mic. As far as the respect thing, I think that, and this is just my opinion, I just think men should be more strong-willed as opposed to, you know, getting in, continuing the conflict. Because my thing is silence. I don't like all the, the loudness and the, so I try to deflect from that, and I don't, and I guess, that could be a good thing and a bad thing, you know what I mean? We all handle it different. But I got another call, and I know I want to hear her opinion, if this is who I think it is. But I appreciate your opinion, though, Brother Patrick, definitely. Okay, caller number. Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Caller 5396, your mic is open.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm good. Peace, sister.
Uh-oh.
How
can
are you?
Can you hear me all right? Doing good.
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you? Okay.
Good. Doing well. I jumped on kind of late, so I might be a little out of the loop, but I was just listening to Brother Tank. I caught a little bit of it. I think our biggest problem within our community is a lack of communication skills. I think with putting a foot down, one of our biggest problems is it is too easy for most of us to walk away. That's a big problem we have. I know for women. I was reading something, and I might not agree with my source on much, but I do agree with that on him, that as women, we are so quick to walk away. We will take off in a minute. We have, and for most women that I deal with and that I talk to and interact with, their issue is lack of communication from their partner, not knowing how to properly communicate. When we have issues, as women, we are very vocal and verbal. We have no problem expressing it. But from our mates, a lot of times we don't get that communication back. I mean, I've read a lot of materials on different type of men and their personalities, and, it's like, I just think, instead of having to try to pick and figure out what a person's thinking and dealing with, it just comes a point when, no, we just need to grow up and learn how to communicate with each other. Women need to learn how to control their emotions, and men need to learn how to express their emotions. And I believe once we all get on the same page with that, we'll begin to be able to get somewhere. What's today? Monday.
Okay.
So I just feel like that's a large part of it. And it seems like I'm with you on the whole. We always kind of see eye to eye with that. I just feel like as men, they may not want it. It's funny, men like to have responsibility for a lot in a relationship. They want a certain level of respect, but a lot of men don't want the responsibility of being the head when it comes to, okay, this portion of the relationship. It is, to me, it is up to a man. You are the leader. It is up to you to keep control and order in this household. You know, a man, if you have a woman, a man and your woman don't respect you enough I don't know. I just think there is an issue when a woman doesn't respect. It's something wrong in that household if a woman doesn't have enough respect to, for her man or husband. Even as a boyfriend, if you don't respect him enough that, you know, you can't talk to him as a man, if you have to be screaming, cussing, calling him out of his name, there's a problem there. You know what I mean?
Right. No doubt.
I have this theory on, you know, that... Hey, I mean, because this same woman may get with a different kind of man, and she may not respond that way to, you know. It's
right.
Sometimes,
yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you just have to be with you, not with that person you're compatible with. I don't like to use the term weak when referring to a man. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes you out of your league, even as a woman. Some women have strong personalities, and it requires her to be with a man with an even stronger personality. and maybe
that's the problem.
Which is,
you know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree to a certain extent. But maybe that's the problem. Maybe we're excusing bad behavior and just calling it off as, hey, he just this or he just that. We have to stop the bad behavior and stop excusing it. Whether it's a man or a woman, we got to stop that behavior because it doesn't get us anywhere. And it doesn't matter if you get with a man who's strong and who this and that and the other. There should never be a situation where we go at each other the way some of us do, whether it's a man or a woman. That is bad behavior, and it should not be tolerated under any circumstances, no matter who the woman is or who the man is. And the fact that a lot of us keep justifying it, we're going to keep up this dysfunction, right? I wouldn't want to date a woman. I don't care if she has the kind of personality that would be nasty to someone else but nice to me. That's not somebody I would want. I want somebody who is innately a good person, who is innately a good communicator, who is innately a feminine creature. That's who they are at their core. Whether they're with me or somebody else. Because what will happen is during tough times, people will revert back to type. You see what I mean? If a guy is just mean, but he's with this woman, but he's a really mean guy, has a really nasty disposition, but this woman is able to cool him out a little bit, that's good. But then with people like that, usually revert back to type. Right? So I think we need to really look at our behaviors and don't justify them, saying, no, we need to end this stuff now. We got a lot to do. We got a lot on our plate. We got some huge problems to solve. And these are some things that we need to, some house cleaning that we need to take care of and clean up amongst ourselves to where there is zero tolerance for bad behavior. I don't care who you with. That's just my thought.
But realistically, what you're saying is unrealistic.
What I'm saying is some people are going to die alone.
And that's true, and some people are okay with that. That's the thing. That's why I have
a business. Some people are okay with that.
Okay, I'll let you talk, so can I have my moment? Thank you. That sounds like some Kevin Samuels talk, because this is the thing. That's what makes some people are in a marriage and still alone. I know people who go to sleep every night who've been in a marriage for 10, 15 years and still feel alone. So that's a misconception there, that because you are, you can be with somebody and still feel alone. So I just want to say that. What I want to say is about what I mean when I say it's unrealistic is, everybody's not going to have the same personality. So what I was saying is not condoning any certain type of behavior. You find what fits you. You describe the type of woman that you like, that's what you go after. There are some people who are okay with having that person who they bring out the softness in, but who can go out into the world and they may have that powerful mentality in the world. And that's okay for them, because what we're talking about is household function, relationship function. If I can calm and soothe this man when he come inside this house, if when he walk inside this door, I'm what brings him peace, I would give him ease, that's okay with me. He don't have to be friendly and easy and happy-go-lucky with everybody else. when he walks inside this door, if once he knows I can relax, I can release, I can be emotional here. If I can provide him that comfort, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm,
so that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying.
If I can communicate
with this man like that, if me and this man can communicate on a level where we're not cussing, screaming at each other inside our household, I'm okay with that because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about collectively what he does with everybody else. We're talking about in our relationship.
Right.
That's all I was saying.
I totally agree. Got another mic. I need to open up. I totally agree with you because, yeah, communication is the key. And definitely when in a relationship, I agree with you, Sister Kia, because we have got to be each other's peace. You know, so that is key as well because, like I said earlier, you know, don't nobody go through as much as the black man except the black woman, you know. So we both go through it equally out here, honestly. And in some cases, the black woman may catch more hell than the black man, you know. And that's why I say, and like you were saying, man, you know, when he comes into the domain, the house, the kingdom, the castle, this is the peace zone. This is where we get along. This is where everything that we need exists. So I totally agree with that. And that's why I appreciate you calling in because I can always rely on you to give it real. And I just appreciate the feminine aspect of it as well because that is, as opposed to just the masculine side of it. Brother, your mic is open. I do appreciate you, though, Sister Kia, for calling in every time.
Anytime, brother.
Peace, everybody.
All right.
Relationships is a weird dynamic. It's a weird dynamic because, and when you first start with somebody, you want everything about them. Midway, you kind of don't like some things, but you're tolerating them. And almost near the end, you look back and all you've really been doing is building a case on this person the whole time. George Clinton, what he said in that thing, it applies here completely because what I've heard, with everything I've heard, was I heard three different perspectives about relationships that really aren't right or wrong, but they don't begin to cover the dynamics of a relationship. You know, be careful when there are strings attached. What's a string for some is a noose for others. What you think was the nice thing to do to that person might have been petty and penny-ante. It all comes down to perspective. When you're walking with somebody, you don't have to worry about somebody being submissive. You don't have to worry about somebody being overbearing or any of those things because you're walking together. You're building this together. It's not a gold digger thing where she's coming in or the gold digger guy thing where he's coming in and it's already built and he's just enjoying it. No. The best relationships are those where the people are, as the Christians like to say, evenly yoked. But I don't like that term because I've never seen two yokes come out the same way and be even. Never happened. What I have seen is people step out of their comfort zone and be a little bit uncomfortable in order to find a new comfort with this other person. They're not going to like everything you do. You're not going to like everything they do. When you're first together, yeah, you worry about all of that. You want your breath smelling good. You don't fart around them, none of that shit. After a couple of years, you're doing all of that and then some. not the same person that they went out with. It's not the same person. We have to look that we want them to evolve. We got to be evolving as well, and we have to know what we're looking at and what we're dealing with and who we are. Got to be accountable. That word keeps coming back, accountable. In that interpersonal relationship, if you really want it to work, personally, it does. What they did with in other relationships, that's not going to really help to define what they're going to do in yours or how you're going to react to it. None of that does. If you like this person enough that you want to see, you think you can walk with them and y'all can keep doing that walk of life, then you do it. When shit go wrong, it ain't always all their fault. You got to be accountable. That's how you clean up your act so that way the next person don't have to put up with the same bullshit that last person put up with. If that bad relationship didn't make you better, then you're the reason the relationship was bad. And with that, I'm going to yield.
Hey, man, that's awesome.
Hey, I agree. I agree with that. You made some real good points. I wanted to ask you something since you're on here now, because I know you close to my age as well. And I made the point earlier about, you know, how I got to see my great-grandparents, you know, who were married, both sets of them, like 60-plus years, you know. And they were around until my late teenage years. And so, you know, I made the point earlier, you know, because you know now within 60-something years of being together that some nerves got touched and you know what I'm saying, but yet and still, you know, those relationships lasted, you know, and that go to the point of what you said, you know, and I like how you put that too, because it ain't like, you know, nobody's walking behind nobody. They're walking beside each other, you know. And I think, too, that is really what solidified a lot of those relationships. But my question to you is, with your great-grandparents, were they still here during your younger years as like mine were?
My great-grandmother shot her second husband, which would have been my great-grandfather.
Oh, wow, okay.
My grandmother literally was married three times, Thomas, Richard, and Harold, Harold being my grandfather. Yes, she had a Tom, Dick, and a Harry, yes. She pretty much was the matriarch. She was the dominant one in the family, not them. She was the one who the sheriff and them came to talk to. She was the one who the shopkeepers dealt with. They didn't deal with the men. They dealt with her. They took it literally back to Jim Crow. This is Mississippi back, you know, we talking about in like the 40s and shit. So for those who think Mississippi's right, fucked up now, take it back some 80 years or so. See what you really think of it. Okay. Tell me what you think then, okay? So, different world. Very patriarchal at right, that time, so it was strange for a woman with this many children and these men around that she was the one running shit. That's why when I hear certain things about the woman being humble and this and that, nah. Because as men, most men can't handle the little bit of power that they think they have. So what happens if you give them real power and real responsibility, and it has to be ongoing till death do you part? So I don't believe in one person being the dominant or anything. I feel like if there's a fire and we all have hands, then we all should be throwing water on this shit. It's that simple.
Can I ask the question?
You know, my job as a man is supposed to do certain things, sure, but just like I feel like a single woman has to take her own garbage out, So just because we married didn't automatically throw that duty to me. The garbage can is the same amount of steps for me as it is for you. So we're not going to play that game. This way we don't have this, well, you're the man. I don't want to hear that shit because I'm not going to tell my woman, well, you're the woman. You're supposed to do this. She don't want to hear that shit. If I can cook, she can cook. She can clean the toilet, so can I. I do laundry, she can do laundry. It really comes down to really a mutual respect and getting back to that. Because these defined roles that everybody wants to follow, those were not designed by us. That was watching the motherfucker who was whooping you do shit. That's not the way we want to do shit. Just saying.
Can I ask the gentleman a question?
I'm Kevin, sure.
Hi, Kevin. So you and your woman are up in the bed, and you guys are in the bed talking, or you're about to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a noise. There's a big bump
right
there. Nobody else is in the house.
Right.
There shouldn't be any noise coming from anywhere. There's no dogs. You got no dogs. You got no cats.
Right. No, I got you.
Now,
but me and my woman both know how to use the gun, so either one of us coming downstairs is dangerous for whoever entered.
No, right.
Right.
Now, who gets to come up and go? If somebody has to go first, who gets to go? If you say, you know what, I went last time, you go check this time or something like that. Or let's put some kids in it. Let's say your grandkids are over and they're in the other room. You say, I'll go check on the grandkids. You go check the noise downstairs, right? Should she be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she should be okay with that. I get what you're saying, but what you're talking about has nothing to do with relationships. That has to do with defined, so-called defined roles of male and female or alpha and omega. And I'm saying in a successful relationship, those things are not part of the dynamic.
They're not part of the dynamic in your relationships, or they're not?
No, in a successful relationship, there's no alpha and no omega. They enjoy the roles and they're comfortable with each other. Now, if the guy, yeah, as a man, if I hear a noise downstairs, yeah, I'm going to go check it, but that's as if, even if I had no one living there, I would do that.
Well,
having someone living there doesn't automatically make it my job to go check. Now, I'm going to go check, but suppose I'm laying there with a broke foot. My woman still knows how to use the firearm. She's going to shoot whoever's down there. That's pretty much it. I mean, you have to look at it. Every situation and every hypothesis doesn't give you, in there it can be perfect. In the real world, it ain't perfect. Shit happens.
All right,
and it happens, you know.
I think you answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. Hold up, because I ain't going to get left hanging out on a limb by myself. So you feel that the man, in spite of whatever the woman is saying, he should be the one to, because, I mean, I understand that thinking. That's protector thinking, though. That's different. Protector thinking is what dogs do when they get between you and the threat. Even if they know the threat can kill them, they'll still do that to protect you. That's different. That's something else. I mean, but in a relationship, that woman should love that man just as much as he loves her enough to go and put himself in harm's way. She should be willing to do the exact same shit. Chivalry is really a four-letter word sometimes. I mean, when you walk in with your woman and three guys come up to fight you, should she step back three steps and watch you get your ass whooped? Or should she take her shoes off and jump in with you and whoop these motherfuckers' ass?
Right.
Well, I think that's a different scenario than the one I brought up. But I hear what you're saying as far as the scenario I brought up. I mean, I just thank you for answering the question. I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just and I would like to hear the young lady's take on that. I think she agreed with you, so I'd just like to hear her her take, and I would assume, I would like, I wish we had more women on here to get their take also.
If I was 20 years younger, I'd marry her. You know why? Because if she hear a bump in the night, I might get woke up by the gunshot. What is love? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because to me, it's like wrong, but you're building a relationship off structure and order and not off love.
Right.
Because to me, if I have a relationship, I want to base it off love. If I pick my lifelong partner, I'm with you because I love you. You know?
Right.
And like I said earlier, Brother Kevin wasn't on, but you got to pick a mate that suits your needs. For you, a woman who is all about structure and order would be fine. I'm diverse. If I fall in love with a person, hey, I'm either way. I could do it either way. If you feel like you want to take this trash out every day, then so be it. If you feel like you want to pay every bill in this house and all my money goes to me, so be it. If you feel like you want to rule this house, so be it. But we will understand that they assist to respect. Take me, I respect you. But it's just my nature. When I love something, I have a desire to protect what I love. Like Brother was saying, that's even in the animal kingdom. You don't see a bear lay down above the animal. She's running, flee.
Your phone's skipping out, Queen, like really bad.
Okay, let me move this. You don't see a mother bear in the wild. You don't see danger approach her cubs and she flee. She hides. She
mm-hmm.
fights. She
right.
hides her cubs, but she fights.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't very well see or hear or the thought of someone entering my home. I'm going to hide my babies, but let's say there are two people. And I send my husband down these stairs. He in trouble. Now, what they're not expecting is somebody to be behind him.
Huh. That's the kind of relationship I want to be in.
Because they probably thinking he coming down here by himself, the woman tucked safely in the bed. If it's one.
You know what you get when you get a submissive person in your relationship? You get a person who is going to come in and pretty much clean your clock when you do decide to go. Because they're so submissive, they can't take care of themselves without some help. And even though you're not with them anymore, those submissive ones is the ones that eat a motherfucker up in court. Because there's that day when they stop saying, yes, baby, and it becomes no, motherfucker, and it's a whole nother world now.
Right.
That's why it's better to have
because
someone whom you love. Because what you love, you don't need no urging to protect, to defend,
exactly.
to feed, to nurture, to
exactly.
nourish, or any of that. It comes natural.
Exactly.
But you got to love them. You can't want them. Can't lust them. You got to love them. That's thick or thin. And that's where we
yeah.
have to be more accountable because a lot of us got into shit and love was nowhere. It wasn't even on the top five things on the list. We thought it would come later. We wasn't tripping until it was a reason
right.
to trip. Because the love, the whatever little love could have came, we ran that out because we don't know each other and we're still figuring each other out. And our coping skills with each other and everything, none of that's been defined yet. Love doesn't make everything perfect. Love makes you want to stay in to make everything perfect.
Right. And along the way, like I said, it's not and it's just not that black and white with me. You know what I mean? I'm all about,
right.
hey, I'm dead a ride with you, but I'm all about, I know I'm not a man, but I know how hard it is for a black man. I see it every day. I watched it growing up. So it is my mm-hmm. pleasure to make my man feel comfortable, to make him feel appreciated. But you just can't
God
be any
it.
Kind
yeah,
of
I'm
man
coming
to me. You
okay.
cannot be any kind of man coming at me and thinking, you're going to be treated like royalty.
Well, you get what you get. That's the way it
right.
ought to be.
So that's right. You have to be a, you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to, because if you don't, what you do is the last thing you want to do is feel resentment toward this person whom you used to wake
right.
up and felt like you couldn't breathe without, and now you want to end their breath.
Right.
Now you spend more breath complaining about they ass than loving them or kissing on them. Hell, you look
Absolutely.
At them, you don't want to sex them. There was a time when they had to beat you off with a stick, you know, and you the same for them, you know. We love those feelings, man, and if we can somehow bottle that shit in the beginning and help and save that when we really need it, like in the middle of the relationship, oh, man, relationships
mm-hmm.
would be a lot easier to deal with. But all that shit in the beginning, oh, man. Hey, once it's gone, there's that morning where you wake up and you just, nah, not feeling it today.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when it begins, and now it shifts. And if you don't evolve with it, then it runs you over. And you wind up sleeping next to somebody that you don't like, that you don't really know, and you can't believe you let yourself get this attached to. But don't pay me no mind, man. You know, I'm just, that's just one black man's opinion. Who I got a, you know, I've been handled by a corrupt child support system and a pissed off baby mama for a long time. Maybe I'm jaded. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you just, like I said, you just, I mean, you just find what works for you. Everybody has different
yeah.
views on relationships and what works for them. You know what I mean? But it's nothing
we
like having somebody who have your back. You know, I mean,
we all looking
some
for
people,
something.
Right. We just got to get what works for you.
Yeah, because there are some women and men out there who would rather be able to submit in the relationship a little bit and let something else go down, you know, or let someone else make the decisions and stuff. But when you allow anyone else to make a decision for you, then you have basically put the responsibility of that decision on them.
Right.
When really it's still on you, in reality. It's still on you. It didn't change. You know, so it's like what we have, like I said, it comes back to accountability. If you know what you want, here's my thing. I'll leave it with this. When I go into Walmart, since my brother-in-law works for Walmart Corporate, I know that Walmart stores are all shaped the same way. Things are in the same place. It may be mirrored in some stores, but it's the same thing. So when I go into Walmart, I don't get caught up on looking at the 80 other things that they want me to see on the way to get my three items or whatever. And I'm determined to only come up there with what I went to get. Being that focused in Walmart saves me money, because every time you walk into Walmart, they're trying to get you. You went to get three items. It's a success if you leave with three or four bags. So that's why you have to walk so far into Walmart to get that one little thing you want. You want a Q-tips? Look how much shit you got to walk past to get to the Q-tips. Okay? So, you know, I'm like this. No, if I came to get Q-tips, that's what I want. I liken that to looking for your mate. If you know what you want, then you'll know it when you see it. If you'll take anything, then you get what you get. Simple as that. I'm going to get Q-tips. I don't need an air fryer. Don't need a candy bar. I don't need to know what the Inquirer is saying. I don't need none of the shit they're trying to sell me. I just came to get my Q-tips.
That's something.
And I'm going to be satisfied and happy with my fucking Q-tips. And you know why my woman will be happy? Because she'll know I'm listening.
All right, well,
damn,
I got about 5 minutes. I got about 5 minutes left to go.
Just letting that sink in.
Anybody want to make some closing thoughts? I'll give you a few seconds to make your closing thoughts, and I got to get off of here. I appreciate everybody for calling in. Sister Kia, Brother Patrick, everybody for calling in. Everybody for listening. you had me laughing there at the end. it is work. Definitely work. Like I said earlier, in the commentary, you know, a lot of people get in a relationship and they just feel like it's going to flow. They don't think you got to put no work in. Well, it's just like a job. You know, if you, anything you want to work, you have to put in the action to get the proper response. So, yeah, I just think that where we were back then, we didn't have access to it. We needed each other more. I'll just say it like that.
Right.
We didn't have access to as many necessities as we have now. We recognized our need for each other. And then, too, we appreciated each other more back then than we do now. And our marriages, like I spoke about, my great-grandparents, I mean, I know over 60-some-odd year period, there was conflict, there was dissension, there was, I'm finna leave, I'm, you know, all of that
right.
within that time. But, you know, I go back to what Brother Kevin said earlier, which was the difference back then is that they utilized each other. They walked beside each other as opposed to behind and in front or whatever. You know, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier, too, because we've got to learn how to lean on one another and stop letting each other fall. And then we've got to stop being the reason that we fall. And, you know, like I always say, it's just about us coming together and like the key word is just loving one another properly. Because we all damaged and we all need fixing. You know, we all got some baggage. And no one person is better than the next. And the sooner that we realize that, I think that we'll stop going at each other because we do. We act as if it's a track meet. We're competing for a prize. And you shouldn't have to compete for what you already have. And if love is what you're looking for, you shouldn't have to compete for that. And I'm going to leave it with that. Like I always say in closing, it's time for us to plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. And we need each other out here, y'all. Let's love each other the right way, heal each other, and be real to each other, as Pac said. I love y'all. I'm out. Peace.
Yeah. It's a man's world, but check the girl with the Mac 11, 187. Hit the switch front, back, side to side, corner to corner. Fuck you a corner. Don't fuck around and get blown up, cause we got the West Side sold up. Ike and Tina, Marie and Donnie, Asper and Simpson, Clyde and Bonnie. Karate, but I know karate, you better ask somebody. And will I do dirt, dirt? Nobody move, nobody get hurt.
I'm the type of girl that's down for my nigga. I'll lie for my nigga, feel a cap for my nigga. He don't mind me flirting, wear tight shirts, cause when it's all over, it's curtains. What they don't know won't hurt. They searching on him, I got the cat in my skirt. Yeah, yes, clown and fool. And my dude giving the girl blue. My dad is right back.
Got me a
my team.
The Bonnie and Clyde team, yeah, got me a down ass nigga on my team.
The Bonnie and Clyde team.
See, every now and then my man had a plan to hook me up with his closest friend.
Yo.
Take me to the bar and maybe me go and kick it. Let him think he's getting over while I gang up for his bitches. Robbing, stealing, killing that wheeling. Always on the go, cause the shit was always go. So
yeah.
Giving up funky vibes to all your funky tribes. And stick together like us and boot rides. We gon' slide right out. Let my nigga take over. I'm taking the bank to the house. When we get to the house, we straight celebrating. Giving up that gangsta triggeration.
La, la, la. Watch me parlay. Hey, with the getaway car. Now here comes the predator. I'm down with yo-yo and everybody is scared of her. Hitting with the wicked shit. I like the dick a chick. But now I'm robbing quick and split. So give me that money, devil. One for the treble. The rhythm is the rebel. When you turn red. You get a hole in your head, a fucking hole in your head. Cause my freedom got an AK. Bonnie and Clyde equal homicide, yeah.
Got me a down ass nigga on my team.
The Bonnie and Clyde thing. Got me a down girl on my team.
The Bonnie and Clyde thing.
Yeah. Run, run, run from the ghetto bird. Cause I'm down. Third, 5-7, pointed at your boys and hoes. No one knows where to let poison go. Cause I'm in the hoop check. Yeah, come off the Rolex. If not, I'ma get Bonnie, son. Film at 11 by Connie Chung. No regret, one man wet. Leaving a scene, throwing up my set. Hitting you up and now I'm out. Yeah, you're left with a dick in your mouth.
See that gangsta mentality, your niggas to insanity. You wanna be down to kill a whole fucking family.
Motherfuckers, you thought I fell off. Stupid ass.